But Christ that liveth in me, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me.
Can you turn me down just a little bit?
He lives. Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer but Christ that liveth in me.
All right, very good, BJ. Sorry, I'm not really good at sign language, okay? I was going like this and he was going. All right, Shirley wanted me to ask, how many is going to be going to the lunch on Wednesday? 1, 2, 4. I just see 4 right now. 5. 5 or 6. Yeah. They do like the men, I was thinking about somewhere else. I want you to think about that song we just sang, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. What does that mean? All right, and what does that mean now? I want you to think about that because we're going to sing it again next week. And then we're going to begin defining what that means. And we're going to let Jesus define what it means to be dead to yourself and alive to Him. That's heavy. That's heavy. Next week is not a Sunday to miss because we're just going to look at Jesus' requirements for discipleship, okay? And we all know that's fairly strong. That's fairly strong stuff. But I think we all need to hear that. So let me just invite you. I don't want to scare you. Just want to invite you to be here, all right? Last week I asked you to be thinking all this week about one to three people that you would like to see come to Jesus this year. And what I would like for you to do is write those names down on your card, okay? Now, if you don't happen to have a pencil or something like that, please just don't put it away next to the shopping list and grab out your shopping list when you get home. What I want you to do is make sure you write down, and if you can write it down now, do so, 1 to 3 names that you would like to see come to Jesus this year. And in a few moments, I'm going to be showing you a good process of how to lead those people to Christ this year. We have 11 months. 11 months. So I'm not going to write mine down because I've got one name in the back of my mind that's going to be a real challenge, okay? And so I'm going to focus on that individual. So please write those down. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of things running through your mind about what you're expecting me to say about how to do that. My guess is you've never heard this method that I'm going to give you, okay? So you'll probably just have to say, all right, all these ideas and things in your mind, we're not going to talk about them in a few minutes. But before we do that, it's going to be at the last part of the message. Before we do that, I want to lay some groundwork. Remember I told you at the first of the year, how would you like to lay 2,000 years of church history and tradition, lay it aside, throw it away, and start brand new? Remember I said that at the first of the year? And I had a lot of hands gone up that were really interested in doing that. You see, when you think of church history, seriously speaking, for the lost community, church history is not your friend. Because the church has had a horrible history. And when a lot of people say, I don't want to hear about it, there's generally a reason in their life that they're responding to that's having to do with some of their history in the church. But they don't want to hear it anymore. So what I want us to do is to take that and push it all aside and start with a fresh approach, okay? So today, what we're going to do, we're going to lay everything aside, and we're going to go back to the fountainhead of Christianity. And that's not the teachings of the Apostle Paul. That's not the teachings of the Apostle Peter, as wonderful as those gentlemen are. They built their faith and their testimony on the example of someone else. In his name is Jesus Christ. I like the song, in Christ alone. Wow! Is that a reflection of our life? In Christ alone. So you see, if we're going to go back to the very beginning, then we've got to get back to the beginning. And that's what we did as we read through the Gospels, because we're going back and looking at the beginning, the foundation of the Christian faith. Let me read what the writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who wrote it. He put it together. He paid for it. He's the author. He's finishing it. So it really is him. We look to him. And as I was reading through this morning, something hit me where it says, let us lay aside every weight. Well, we generally think every weight is a sin. Well, that's the next part, and the sin that easily ensnares us. But what's the weight? Could it be church tradition? Could it be the way we've always done things that didn't work? We need to lay aside those weights, because all they're doing is holding us back. We need to get back to the beginning and do it the way he did it. It worked, didn't it? So that's what we're going to do. Let me finish this verse. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy of what was set before him. Ouch, how do you do that? How do you look at the cross and say, yeah? Because he knew the benefit of the cross. He was motivated by mission, not by circumstances. So we need to be motivated by our mission. Jesus is everything to those in the church. Now let me ask a probing question. Is Jesus everything to you and me? I was just telling Shirley as I went through this, I said, I've had to wear this all week. You know, Jesus can get a little bit heavy. One of these days, I'm going to go back, not today, go back and do the hard sayings of Jesus. And as I was reading through the gospel, I was going, ouch! Boy, that's some things that he said. So, is he everything in our life? Well, probably an easier question is, should he be? I think everybody would agree. So again, to get back to the fountainhead of our faith, we've got to go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's why I had you read those. And I am enjoying it myself. And yes, Shirley's probably in front of me too. I'm just now getting into a part of the way through the Gospel of John. And John chapter 1, I had to read the first little bit of it and stop. I couldn't go any further. I had to go back and read it again and read it again and read it again. And if you're reading in the New Living Translation, I challenge you to do that because it comes alive. It's, wow. Anyway, to find out about Jesus, we've got to get back to that. Now let me ask you, as you've been reading through the Gospels, what's jumped out at you? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Great. Anybody else?
I think it's a biography in a way. Mm-hmm. Of Jesus himself.
Sure.
Told in four different, slightly different ways.
Four different personalities.
Yeah, in
a way. Yeah.
The human mysteries follow.
Mm-hmm. And these things hit you. But there's one thing, maybe not as obvious, that jumped out to me. You know, he was doing all these wonderful things. He was touching people. He was saving people. He was redeeming people. He was changing their lives. He was healing. And all of that was going on, he did it to train 12 men. Not only did Jesus come to seek and to save that which was lost, but during that time, as he was seeking to save that which was lost and change people's lives, he was training 12 men to go and do the same. Although he lost one of them, and he admitted it. One of them, you know, was Judas Iscariot. Now keep that in mind. Everything that Jesus did, he was training 12 men to do what? To go and do the same thing that he did. What's that called?
Discipleship.
Let me tell you some things he told the disciples. He told them it was not going to be easy. He said they would be persecuted. He said that even some of them would lose their lives because of him. Now, how many would get on board with that? I mean, we go through a little bit of persecution today and we go, oh, Lord, help me. But you know what? These guys lost their lives because of all of them but one. And he was exiled. But Jesus said that's going to follow those who live for him. Yea, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the closer you get to him, people who hate him might just hate you. How do we respond to that? But as I said, he taught these 12 men to do the same thing he did last time. And you know what? The last few words that he said holds a lot of meaning. Maybe you've been next to the a dying loved one, and you're just resting on every word they say. You want to hear everything they have to say, because a lot of times those last few words are so powerful. And in Jesus' case, it was the same. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. He had already been crucified, raised from the dead. He's meeting with the disciples. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. But this is what he had to say. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And if you've been in church very long, you've probably memorized that. You know it. That's probably some of the most significant words he said. Let's look at it bit by bit. First of all, he said, all authority's been given to me. Well, what does that mean? It means there is nothing I can't do. I mean, all authority in heaven, all authority in earth has been given to him. He is in charge. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to tell you. It doesn't matter what the culture is trying to tell you. Jesus is in charge and he will win.
Amen.
If you're on his team, so will you. All authority has been given to him. Secondly, he said, because all authority has been given to me, now I tell you, go and make disciples. Listen to this. Can the real mission for a Christian be any more clear than that? Go and make disciples. Now don't raise your hand with these questions. How many disciples have you made in the last year? How many disciples have you made in the last 5 years? Well, maybe the last 10 years. How many disciples have you and I made? What does that tell you about you and me? It tells me that we're so caught up in church tradition and routine that we forgot what we're here for. We're caught up in the modern church movement doing what the modern church does, and I'm not talking about progressive or conservative or whatever, but what the church does. We're so caught up in the machine of what the church does that we forget what we're here for. And Jesus clearly said, go make disciples. And if we haven't done it, we're not doing our job. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get back to what Jesus said. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We had a wonderful time 2 years ago when we went over to Matt's house and were able to baptize 9 people. How many was there? Wow, what a wonderful day. I had a blast. A little bit stormy on that day, but it was an exciting time, you know, baptizing 9 people. Here's the hard question. What have we been doing since then? Tony, you're awful hard today. I've been wearing this all week, so just put up with me. Oh, I've got in all capitalizations and highlighted and everything, we all must struggle with this. All of us. Then Jesus goes on to say, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. We do a pretty good job at that, teaching what Jesus taught. But how about the first two, making disciples and baptizing? Jesus' final words were, I'll be with you. My power will be with you. My wisdom will be with you. I'll be with you to help you make disciples. And in Acts chapter 2, he tells us that we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what? To be witnesses. You see? A lot of people think the power of the Holy Spirit is for something else, but Jesus clearly said, or in Acts chapter 2, you'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be what? Witnesses unto me. You see how different that is from church as normal? You see, if we're going to get back to the fountainhead of the church, we've got to do what Jesus did and what he taught. So there you go. We're back to the very beginning. We have in one command, we have our calling, our power, and our assurance, and our direction in one single command. Go and make disciples. And let me just drive that nail just a little bit further. This one thing is so important, it's as if nothing else even matters. Because we can get so wrapped up in these other things that we forget the one reason we're here. It's to make disciples. Now, where do we go from there? Where do we start on getting back to making disciples? Think about who you're going to put on your card. You've already got a mission field on your card. Did you know that? Yeah, I kind of set you up a little bit. You already have those on your card who you can begin trying to lead to the Lord this year. And I'm going to give you a process that has a really, really good chance of seeing them people come to Christ this year. You ready for that process? If you have a handout, I want you to make sure that you have that, because I've got little lines there for you to spell out the word. I didn't even include the word. I'm going to give that to you, okay? Now listen, folks. For us to begin leading these people to the Lord, we've got to begin blessing them. Blessing them? What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, you see, let's look at Jesus. It does. Everywhere he went, he was blessing people. He was either giving food to them, or he was setting them free, or leading them to himself, or he was teaching, or he was doing something to bless people. And if we're going to see people come to Jesus Christ, we're going to have to begin with blessing them. Now, this is not the religious way of blessing them, go up and say, God bless you, and walk on. No. Well, let's add some muscles to this. So what do we do? First, be. You ready? Begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. Oh, I'm going to give you all the letters and then we'll talk about each of them. Okay, begin with prayer is the B. Second, L, listen to them. E, I like this one, eat with them. The first S, serve them. And the last one is story. Story. So let's begin with prayer. I mean, whenever you begin with prayer. Jesus did a lot of things well. We know that. But if there's one thing he obviously did, he prayed for people. He prayed for the lost. He prayed for Jerusalem. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed before he healed. He prayed just after he was baptized. And he prayed in the wilderness. He even prayed on the cross. Jesus was always praying. Always praying. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we've got to begin with prayer. So don't miss this. We need to pray. So those people on your list, pray for them every single day. Don't miss a day. If you forget a day, the next day, pray twice. And if you forget a lot of days, you've got a prayer session going on when you get started, okay? Pray for them. Pray every single day that God, in His miraculous power, will reach out and touch that person that you are praying for and give them a desire to know Jesus and give them that idea to accept for themselves the reality of a Savior who died for them, began praying for them. Next one, L, listen to them. This is one of the most overstated and underused parts of Christianity. Whenever we sit down with a person to begin a conversation, what do we normally talk about?
Ourselves.
Go ahead and say amen or oh me. Most people enjoy talking about themselves, so do you and I. So, but when you sit down to talk to that person, listen to them. Listen to them. Encourage them when they say something. Julie's good about this. She somehow comes up with all these questions. She can lead a conversation, get a person to be talking an awful lot. She's good at that. I'm not. I have to work at it. I have to keep telling myself, shut up, Tony, shut up, Tony, shut up, Tony, listen to them. Listen to them. Oh, and if they tell you something about themselves that you don't like or you disagree with, don't you tell them. You add value to who they are. They have a right to their opinion just like you do. Encourage the conversation. You may have a chance someday, but encourage the conversation. You're building currency as you're listening to them. So you begin with prayer, then you listen to them. The E, eat with them. You know this person you're praying for? Have them over for tea sometime. Oh, and when they're there, talk about them, okay? Have them over. One of my favorite things to do is sit down with a cup of coffee with somebody. I mean, what a wonderful ministry is to, you know, buy a meal for somebody and sit down and just talk to them and encourage them to talk about themselves. And if you're listening to them, you know you're going to find out an awful lot about that person. And they're probably going to think pretty highly of you for inviting them to a meal. They're going to say, what are they up to? But you're praying for them. You're listening to them. They might even say, boy, there's a change come about that person. You might even shock them that you're interested in them. Folks, let's bless them. Let's bless them. So, begin with prayer. Listen, eat. Oh, have you noticed all these steps, we haven't given a gospel presentation yet. We haven't gone to the Romans Road. We hadn't even told them our story yet. We've refused to tell them our story because we're blessing them. It's all about them. Has there been anything hard about this method yet? I mean, do you see any long list of memorizations that you got to go through yet? It's something that we can do these so easily. Here's the next one. Serve. Ask God to show you a way to serve that person you're praying for. You said, remember what Jesus said one time? He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. So if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be serving these people. serving them. Ask God to show you how you can serve them and be a blessing to those people. So throughout the year, begin doing these things. Oh, let me just throw this in. All these things you're doing is for a purpose. And that purpose is to be able to lead them to Jesus. If you're just giving them food or blessing them without the purpose of leading them to the Lord, that's the social gospel, not the gospel of Jesus. You're doing it for a purpose, that the Lord would open the door for you to lead them to Jesus. And then story. Keep your ears open. I want you to listen to this. Keep your ears open. If God works in their heart and they get to a point to where they really want to just open up and let you see into their heart, and they tell you their story, after you've heard their story and you've encouraged them, ask permission if you can share with them your story. Then you have the opportunity. If you're a Christian, you have your own story of salvation. No one else has that one. So you need to be able to tell that story, how you came to Jesus and what it meant to you. But first, ask their permission. And if you've done all these other things, there's a good chance they're going to say, go ahead. I'm looking forward to hearing it. But if you come like that, they don't want to hear a thing you have to say. But if you do all these other things and then ask their permission, they'll let you tell your story. You see anything hard there? Fairly easy, isn't it? Oh, it does take patience, which might be hard. Well, now, does this work? Well, let me give you a little experiment that was done one time. There was 50 evangelizers and 50 servers sent out to the mission field. Okay? The 50 evangelizers, and you know, they were doing what you would expect. They got there and they won a few people to the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the servers got there and they started doing the things that we've talked about. And they started leading a few people to the Lord too. Matter of fact, they led 50 times as much people as the evangelizers did to the Lord. 50 times. Oh, and there was something else. There was a lot of social benefit developed in the community because of the blessers that the evangelizers didn't have. So which is the true evangelist? Which are the real people acting like Jesus? Those who bless people. You think it's a good plan? So throughout this year, let me tell you what to do. Every single day, do one of those things. One of those things that we've talked about. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, or story. Do one of those throughout the year. And if we will do that every single day, do one of those every single day, I'll just bet you we'll begin seeing people come to Jesus. Isn't that what we want? And then we'll get Matt's pool going again if he lets us, and seeing people baptized. Or Ken's Creek. We'll go up. That's not a creek. That's the mighty Hastings River. So folks,
If we're going to be like Jesus and we're going to be disciples like he told us to be, we're going to have to begin with leading folks to Christ. And these things that we looked at today is honestly a tried and proven way of leading people to Christ. Anybody here going to sign up to that and do it? I am too. And then just we'll ask God to bless that, all right? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the example that he gave us to do the things that he did. I thank you for the promise that he promised that he would be with us every step of the way. We are never, ever alone or out on a limb. You're with us. You're supporting us. You're giving us wisdom. You're giving us courage. You're giving us patience. But the most important thing, you've given us the power, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that begins working in people's lives as we bless them. So, Father, we ask that this won't just be an academic discussion or something we hope to do. I pray everybody will get involved with this. And, Lord, we ask you that through us you will seek and save that which is lost. And we'll get to see them born again into the kingdom of God. We ask that you use us in this way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. So I challenge you, as I challenge myself, let's go and let's do this. And I pray that God will bless it. Have a good week.